It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Stephen Jones, our speaker will be Reverend Jeremy Sweat, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Holly Springs, Georgia. The title of his message is A Clear Command, Preach the Word. The text is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5.
It's a privilege to introduce to you today a friend, a 1991 graduate of the university, Pastor Jeremy Sweat. He pastors the Community Baptist Church down in Holly Springs, Georgia. When he was here as a student, he was submitted to the Lord. He was seeking the Lord's will for his life. To that point in his life, the Lord was leading him into the field of business. He was a marketing management major. His heart was surrendered. He's a pastor's son. He was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted, but that was the Lord's leading and the inclination and the gifts the Lord had given him. And that's how he was preparing himself. And soon after graduation, he went down. He worked for a time with a publishing company down in Atlanta, but even then got involved helping his dad plant the church, Berean Baptist Church in Lilburn, Georgia. And then he sensed the Lord's working in his life, moving him from the vocation, the calling as a Christian businessman into business, to a full-time ministry role. And so he and Renee, his wife, both felt that leading of the Lord and submitted to it. And for 6.5 years, he served as youth pastor there at Berean Baptist Church with his father, and then at Westgate Baptist Church up in Spartanburg. In 1998, he joined as assistant pastor at Bible Baptist Church in Hampton, Georgia, and then in 2002, he planted Community Baptist in Holly Springs. A 5-year-old church now, the Lord is greatly blessing, has allowed it to take root there. A number of faithful families, are very encouraging and enjoyable congregation to be with. Had the privilege to be up there down there with them in October, and just enjoyed the fellowship and the warmth of that group of believers. They, though 5 years old, have taken on 7 missionaries whom they support already and are progressing in their attendance and their support of others. And it's an exciting thing to see how the Lord is blessing. Jeremy's a man after the Lord's heart. I had the privilege of being on Academy Hall as an APC with him when he was also an APC in another room, my junior year, his senior year, and watched as a marketing management major. He invested spiritually in the lives of the Academy students the Lord had committed to our charge, and has never stopped that. He has a burden for young men, particularly, and for fundamentalism in general, has a burden for the congregation the Lord has given him, and he has a burden for you. And I know his preaching today will be a blessing. Pastor Sweat, come ahead.
Well, amen. I'm not sure who he was introducing, but I guess it's my time to get up here. It is a privilege to be here today. I never thought 20 years ago when I sat in this auditorium as a freshman that I would ever be up here. But this is what God has called me to. And whatever God calls us to, we better not run from it. My grandmother is a dear Christian lady. She has a wonderful little plaque in her home. It says, "Work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but the retirement plan is out of this world." And I like that. It's a good reminder. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord with your life. I never will forget, as a business major here at the university, hearing Dr. Bob come back from a trip and begin to challenge us to go from this place and use the abilities and the talents and the gifts that God had given us to go and help a church planter and to be involved and to be interested in serving the Lord in that way. Little did I know that I would be able to do that with my own father, who became a church planter while I was a student here. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. And Lord Terry's is coming. I'm looking forward to what he has for us. But it is a privilege to be here today and to stand here in this pulpit where so many great men of God have stood. But let me say to you who are preparing for the ministry and who will go out from this place and preach in pulpits around the world, it's a privilege to stand in this pulpit. It's a privilege to stand in a pulpit in a little church in Atlanta, Georgia, in a room that's only 35 by 35. It's a privilege to stand in a pulpit in a little village outside of Lugoj, Romania, or in a little thatch lean-to in the mountains of Peru. Anytime we take God's Word and open it up and proclaim its truth, no matter where you are, it's a privilege. And I trust that we will remember that, and I trust that you will remember that as you go from this place. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. The clock is quickly ticking down on your year. I know many of you are already beginning to think about what the summer is going to hold and the jobs that you will look for and the things that God has in store for you in the coming weeks and months. And I want to invite you this morning to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. As I just want to take the few moments that we have here this morning to take this passage and use it to challenge your hearts. I realize it is Paul addressing his son in the faith, young man Timothy, who is laboring and serving the Lord and preaching the Word. I know there are many of you who are training for that. You'll leave this place and you will be a youth pastor, an assistant pastor, one day, Lord willing, possibly a senior pastor. And you'll preach the truth of God's Word probably on a weekly basis to a congregation, to a group of people. But you know, we are all called to preach the truth of God's Word. If you are a child of God here in this place today, God is calling you. God is using this time in your life, in this place, to equip you, to take from this place the truth that you have learned and to give it to those who need so desperately to hear it. And so we're all given this call. This morning I want us to look in this passage. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 5 if you'll follow along with me. Paul tells Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." My goal here this morning is to challenge you with the great need to communicate the truth of the gospel and to encourage you that you have the ability, you have the gifts that God can use to accomplish that purpose. I know it's easy sometimes for us to think, well, that's not my major. Or that's not, you know, how I'm necessarily gifted. And I'll never be up there preaching to, you know, a large auditorium full of people. And that very well may be true. But you will go from this place. You will go even in a few weeks. Some of you may be even this afternoon as you have possibly a job off campus or will take you someplace where it may just be an audience of one. Just one who needs to know the truth of God's Word. Just one who needs to hear a clear, honest presentation of the gospel. We have before us in this passage a clear command. He tells Timothy, preach the word. It's a non-negotiable. It's what we're called to do. It's what Timothy certainly was called to do. But again, it is what I believe all of us are called to do as we are told to go out and to tell the world that Jesus loves them, that they are a sinner, they need to repent and accept God's gift of salvation. As we look at this, we are told, and Timothy was told several things about how he was to preach. We are to be commanding. This word, eruso, it means to herald, it means to publish or proclaim. It's not your job, it's not my job to change the message. That is really not our prerogative, though some try to do that. It is simply my job, it is simply your job to herald the good tidings that God has given us in His Word. To clearly proclaim that. Don't be bashful about sharing the truth. It is the truth. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to wonder if it is right. It's God's Word. Don't try to sneak up on people, you know, and ambush them with it. Or, you know, hopefully, you know, just get a chance maybe to sneak up and give them a little shot of it. No, be bold about it. I want to communicate to you a little story that from a man in my church. He is a graduate of the university. He was actually in my youth group in Spartanburg when I assumed the role there, full-time youth pastor. I watched him grow up. I actually took him on a mission trip to Canada and left him there, not on purpose. I should say not by accident for God, but he stayed there all summer and he served God, and God used that time, and he came here and he got a degree in computer engineering, computer programming. And he worked for a time up in Spartanburg, and a couple years ago, God called he and his wife to move down to Atlanta and to begin to help us with the work there at Community Baptist. He left a good job in Spartanburg, moved to Atlanta with no job, began to rent a home, and went for 6 months without employment, and then got hired on by Georgia Tech. Was doing well. Computer consultant company came to him and offered him another position. He took that. A few weeks ago, actually I guess a few months ago now, he got a call one day that said, "Listen, we need for you to pack your bags. We need to send you down to Orlando with one of our clients. It's a company called US Kids Golf. We need you to go down there and be there in Orlando with them for a few days and set up their booth and manage all the technology that is going on there." And so he said, "Okay." He really is not a golfer. And he called me up and he said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Yeah." My schedule wouldn't permit it, but he went, and he was, you know, he's into computers and he was honed in on that, and he was looking for it. It's just an exciting opportunity. Well, this man is not bashful about his faith, and he had already, even through other conversations prior to that time, had demonstrated his diligence, his faithfulness to share with others about what God had done for him. He came home from that trip and he called me up. He is now one of our deacons. Our church elected him this past winter to begin serving and fulfilling that role of deacon. And he called me up and he said, "Pastor," he said, "you won't believe what happened." I said, "Well, tell me." He said, "We were down there in Orlando and we got everything set up and we went out to dinner that night, and we were sitting there at this huge table, and there are these PGA professionals and these teachers and these salespeople and the CEO and the CFO and all the heads of the company. And he said, we ordered our meal, and all of a sudden Dewey kind of rapped on his glass." He's the CEO of the company. He rapped on his glass and he got everybody's attention. He said, "Listen, we've got a few minutes here before our meals come." He said, "I want to give this time to Randy." And Randy looked down the table at Randy and said, "Randy, I want you to tell everybody here why you came to Atlanta and what God has done for you." He said, "Pastor, I had no idea he was going to do that." And for the next 20 minutes or so, he shared with that group of golf professionals and salesmen and successful business people why God, or why he had moved, because God had led him to Atlanta, Georgia, to help a little church. And he shared his testimony and he presented the gospel. And I thought to myself, boy, that's it. That's what it's all about. These are men that I will never have an opportunity probably to do that with. But God, in his wonderful will and sovereign will, his wonderful grace, placed Randy at that table that night and gave him an opportunity to present the gospel. And there are going to be some of you who leave this place and you'll have that opportunity. Randy boldly proclaimed the truth, and he has done that. And now, after just a few weeks, and I think, quite frankly, in large part because of his boldness, he is no longer a computer consultant, but he is now the chief technology officer for U.S. Kids Golf. He now has a full-time position with that company to present the gospel daily in that environment. We must be bold. We must be commanding as we present it. We must be clear. You know, the problem with much of what is presented in the gospel, with the gospel today, or should I say, quote-unquote gospel, that is presented today, is so far removed from the truth that people aren't really sure what it is they're hearing, and they leave with more questions than they do answers. And then I'm going to share some examples with you about what exactly is going on in Atlanta. And I don't think Atlanta is the exception. I think it's very common what is going on there and other places around the country. But you know, it is tragic but true that people can attend church and not have any of their questions about eternity answered. This past Friday, I was at a Good Friday breakfast. Most Friday mornings, with very few exceptions, for the last 3 years, I've traveled down to downtown Atlanta and led a Friday morning business and Bible study. Because of my undergraduate degree and the experience that I've had in business, it's given me a wonderful opportunity and a kind of a platform and an ability to have some rapport with those men. And we go downtown and I lead a Bible study every Friday morning from 7 till 8 o'clock. And this particular Friday, this past Friday, one of the men, his accounting firm, he's a partner in, was hosting a Good Friday breakfast. They've done this for 15 some years. And he invited me to go with him and to attend that breakfast, and I was glad to do that. And the speaker for that morning was one of the pastors of really one of the largest churches in metropolitan Atlanta. They now have three campuses, and normally in those three campuses, they will have over 15,000 people in attendance. And I listened with great interest as this pastor got up and began to give his presentation about the resurrection. And after about 40 minutes, I kind of, quite frankly, shook my head, because he had spent that time arguing the proof of the resurrection from solely an intellectual standpoint, quoting secular authors, quoting and listing stories and recounting stories of those who had, you know, sought God and had been seekers and so on and so forth, and had come in their own minds to the realization of the resurrection. And after that 40 minutes, there was never any presentation of the gospel. Just that this was this intellectual exchange, an argument, as it were, about the fact that the resurrection did occur. I thought to myself, my, why did you not just turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and preach to them the truth of the resurrection and what it means and why our faith is founded on that? And if we can just confess our sins and believe in the risen Savior, then not only do we have to argue the point of the resurrection, we will know it for all eternity. We have to be clear. We live in a world today, people have real problems. They have real questions. And my friends, we have the answer. It's in God's Word. We must be compassionate. People are going to die, and they will spend an eternity in hell if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. This morning, do you see people as Jesus saw them? As sheep having no shepherd, wandering about, pursuing all kinds of things, looking for satisfaction, looking for fulfillment, looking for anything that will answer the questions that are in their hearts and minds. Does it break your heart to see people enslaved to sin? As a pastor, I meet with people all the time, and they'll come and they'll just say, "Pastor, here's what I'm struggling with, and I've been struggling with it for years," and so on. And they have tried all kinds of things. All kinds of things, listened to all kind of talk, tried all kinds of programs and methods, except for the truth. And it breaks your heart, because you think they've gone all that time. I hope somebody has presented with them the truth, and maybe that has occurred and they just haven't accepted it. But now here I have an opportunity. Don't miss that opportunity to now present them with the truth. We have had in the last 2 weeks in our services young people, teenagers, who were brought by their aunt who came to our services on a friend day last fall, has accepted the Lord as her Savior. She's there Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night now. In the last few weeks, she's finally begun to get some of her family to come with her. And she told me last week as they left, she said, "You know, this was the first time that Blake or Jonathan have ever even stepped foot into a church." And I thought, my, here we are in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, the Bible Belt and all that. And here is this 13-year-old boy, and last Sunday was the first time he had ever stepped foot in a church. He was there again yesterday morning. And I went up and I greeted him, and his mom was with him and her boyfriend. And I greeted them and told them how glad I was that they were there with us. And as I began to talk to someone who was just in front of them, I was overhearing a little bit of what he's saying. And boy, he was excited. He had the bulletin and he was leaning over to his mom and saying, "See these is what we're going to sing. And here's the number. And it's in that book down there." I mean, he had it figured out. And there was excitement. Folks, there are people like that all over the place. And God is gifting you, and God is giving you opportunities to go from this place and to meet those people and to tell them the truth. Last Tuesday, I was privileged to sit in a conference and hear Dr. Hankins take this same passage and do a far better job than I am. But he made a statement that as soon as he made it, I pulled out a card and wrote it down because it struck me. And he said simply this: what people don't know can hurt them. My friends, we are surrounded by a world and people don't know the truth. And yes, it can hurt them for eternity. We are given a command. We see here also in this passage, Paul goes on, he begins to explain some things to Timothy about what it's going to be like to minister in this world. And he's saying, listen, there's going to come a time when some things are going to occur and people are not going to want to listen to the truth and they're going to look all kinds of other places. Can I tell you this morning, I am convinced when Paul said, for the time will come, that that time has come. That we are living in an age just like what Paul is describing here in this passage. We don't have to wonder what it's going to be like. We have things all around us and people are seeing in this things all around them in this passage what people profess to be Christianity. We're living in this time. He says they'll not endure sound doctrine. We see that happening all the time. You know, you just give them a little ditty, just a little chat or just kind of, you know, talk to them. Lose a little story here, a little anecdote there. Seems like preachers today can't hardly communicate without props or some amazing audio-visual presentation. There's nothing wrong with PowerPoint. There's nothing wrong with having and using the things of technology to better help you. But if that is what we are depending upon to get people's attention and to commit, I'm afraid, in trouble. It's been a wonderful thing to be a church planner and not have all that stuff. But to just simply communicate the truth and watch God change lives. You know, whether it's 80 people gathered in a rented facility in Atlanta, Georgia, or 8,000 in a large auditorium as we'll gather 7 miles south of us every Sunday morning, truth is truth. And there's going to come a time, and I believe that time is now, they won't endure sound doctrine. I'll never forget, I was flipping channels one day and I came across this fella, and I figured out after a few moments that he was a preacher of some kind. But what struck me was, first of all, the fact he was in jeans and kind of a golf shirt and flip-flops. But also the Ferrari that was on the platform behind him. And I don't know if he had, you know, if that was his parking place or what, but he had this beautiful red Ferrari. And I was wondering, well, that's kind of unique. And he would open the door and he'd sit in the driver's seat and talk to him for a while. And then he'd get out, walk around, lean up against the trunk for a while. And I'm like, what is going on? And as I began to listen, his whole thing was that God would give you grace to race through life. The Ferrari. And I thought, my, is that what it's come to? And unfortunately, I think in many cases it has. Text here says that they'll look for a teacher because of their own lusts. People want to hear what they want to hear, not what God wants them to hear. We see it all the time. Church attendance, it's like a smorgasbord. They look in the paper, who's got the best show this week? Who's got the, you know, the most exciting presentation or the concert or whatever? People go wherever they feel like they'll get that entertainment, and they're attracted to whoever has the most clever presentations. One of the large churches, I said, 7 miles south of us, they just built a 7,000-8,000 seat auditorium on their campus. Getting ready now to go to two services. A couple of years ago, we went down to their Christmas program. I was just, quite frankly, curious about what it would be like. Had my suspicions, and they were confirmed. It started off with an elf dancing around the stage and all excited about Santa coming. And then all of a sudden, I was up in the balcony, but I guess the back doors opened, and all of a sudden you heard jingle bells, and guess what? Santa came down the aisle. And the program progressed, and we went from the elf and Santa Claus to a country music presentation to one that was just all-out rock presentation to then there was a high church, beautiful number of Joy to the World, which I was like, wow, okay, came for that one. And then ultimately, yes, there was a nativity. And I left and I thought, that's something for everyone. You know, we don't have to have Santa Claus and elves to communicate the truth. That same church, a week ago, I got a flyer from them. I passed it off to our youth pastor. I said, hey, maybe we can learn something here, jokingly. But it was the Final Four, and they were talking about having a big youth program, and they were giving away iPods, Xboxes. This wasn't just Wednesday night youth program. $100 to whoever made a free throw. And free pizza. So, I mean, you had your techies, your gamers, your music, your athletes, and if that didn't catch you, free pizza. And again, there's not necessarily anything wrong with an iPod or an Xbox. I know some of you are relieved to hear that. But if that is what we are luring people in with in the hopes to kind of sneak up with on them and present them with the gospel. You know, there's an old saying, you win them to what you win them with. And I can tell you, as I have over the last several years in Atlanta, in the midst of all of this going on, and that is, you know, quote unquote, as some people say, your competition. It has been a wonderful thing to watch as we just simply take the truth of God's Word, present it in an uncompromising and clear way, and watch God change lives. You don't have to have all that other stuff. They'll turn away, the Bible says, their ears from the truth and they want fables. They will. I told you, I want to show something to you. And this is real life. Dr. Bob was with us a few weeks ago and I was sharing some of this with him. He said, listen, he said, if it fits in your message and in the text, he said, you know, just share with the students some of the things that you're facing, some of the things that are going on. We have a couple of churches that have just come up, a lot of the, you know, contemporary type churches. They've purchased a Kmart building, no telling how many millions of dollars they've spent on elaborate renovations. You go to their website, and this is what they say on the home screen of their website to describe their church. Quote, a non-religious, rock music, wear your jeans, bring in your coffee, all out worship to God kind of place where you can be yourself and know that you are loved. They have a billboard out on 575 that says, come party with us on Sunday. We have another church that is meeting up in a movie theater. Rented that out. They meet every Sunday. You go to their website. It says, come comfortable. Everyone will be in jeans, shorts, t-shirts, and come early to enjoy a cup of coffee, tea, or juice. The music will be rocking and sound like the music you hear on the local rock radio station. This past week, they put out this in the magazine. This front cover is an at-church advertisement. Nice Easter bunny. It says, wear whatever you want on Easter. With the Easter bunny, I guess. You open it up and it says, as long as you're not naked. That's church. Folks, people need to hear the truth, not some ginned up entertainment, not some gimmick. People are dying. They're going to spend an eternity in hell. And this is what is being publicized as Christianity. We should not be asking, what do they want? But as you leave this place today, we need to be asking, what does God want? What does God want me to do with what I have learned here this year? What does God want me to do with the opportunities that He is going to present to me in coming days? Go home in a few weeks. Get involved with your local church. Be an encouragement to your pastor. Be out on visitation. Be inviting people to come to your church where the gospel is clearly preached, where people do love them and God does love them and they're given that information, but where they will leave with answers, not just more questions. I love what a Catholic priest said of John Knox, that great Scottish reformer. He said, when Knox preached, it was like 500 trumpets blowing in our ears. People need to hear that. They need to hear the clarion call of God's Word, the truth of the gospel. You've been given it. It's been entrusted to you. Now take it and share it. Preach the Word to those who need to hear. Let's pray. Father, we have come to this hour, a needy people. Lord, we leave with a challenge from Your Word before us. Help us to go from this place. Help us, Father, to be doers of Your Word and not hearers only. Thank You, Father, for Your grace that gives us the power, gives us the opportunity to communicate the wonderful truth that has been entrusted to us. And Lord, we'll thank You for the work that You will do in hearts, Lord, as we are able to faithfully labor in your vineyard. Thank You, Father, for this place, for the truth that it stands for.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Jeremy Sweat, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Holly Springs, Georgia. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.